Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26. Ask you to read every other verse with me down to verse number 31. Genesis chapter 1, I'll begin reading in verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. Created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold,
I have given you every bird of the air and sea, which is upon the face of all the earth,
and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. To every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made,
and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the mornings were the sixth day.
Now we look at these verses, and it may not make sense at first, but we're going to look at this. This is what we're going to talk about this morning. Why do we need to pray? We're in a series called Getting Hold of God, and that series is about getting hold of God. It's about prayer. And so this is our third message on this. Why do we need to pray? It's a good question. Why do we need to pray? Really, what is a great reason for it? And so we're going to talk about this morning. Hopefully be a help and an encouragement to you in this area of prayer. Let's pray, and let's ask the Lord to help us in this. Lord, now as we come to the subject of prayer, first thing we want to do is pray to you about helping us. And Lord, we believe all good things come from above. That you are the Father of lights. Lord, you send your blessings down. You rain blessings down upon your people. And Lord, we had asked this morning that you would bless us. That you would help us. Lord, I pray for someone who here this morning, if they're not saved, I pray that, Lord, you speak to their heart about salvation. They understand, Lord, that heaven is not about what church you go to or what good work you do, but it's whether or not there's been a time and a place that you've accepted Christ as Savior. For those who have been saved, those who are born again, Lord, I pray you speak to their hearts about their relationship with you. Whether or not there is a prayer time, whether or not prayer is a benefit to them and productive in their life. So now I pray that you help us in these things. We ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Let me start by telling you, it's an old story I've probably told you to before, but it always causes me to be thoughtful when I think about it, because it's a story about prayer. Dr. Rice, who was a man who lived, he passed away in the early, I think 1980, 81, somewhere in there, but he's very popular in the 50s and the 60s. He's the founder of a prayer article called The Sword of the Lord. It's a Christian newspaper. He was very famous back in the 50s and 60s, and he preached often on the topic of prayer. It was one of his big topics he preached about. He told once that he had this dream that, you know, just like we'd have dreams, but he had this dream one night. And in this dream, he went to heaven. And as he was in heaven, the Lord was showing him around heaven, kind of giving him a tour. And he went to this place in heaven and that place in heaven and showed him here and showed him there and met different people. And as he was going through heaven, he kind of saw a room off to the side, a door off to the side. And he asked the Lord, he said, "Well, what's in that room?" And the Lord said, no, let's not go in there. And Dr. Rice said, "Now, this is heaven. I mean, how could there be something bad in heaven? I mean, it can't be a boogeyman or something. I mean, what could be a problem with going through that door?" And the Lord said to him, he said, "John Rice, you don't want to go in that room." And Dr. Rice said, "Surely this is heaven. There can't be anything bad in this room." And the Lord said, "Okay, fine. Well, I'll take you to that room." So he goes in this room in heaven, and in this room, it's just like, it looks like a, like Christmas time. There's all these boxes, and they're all wrapped. They all have these beautiful wrappings and beautiful bows on them, and just a whole room full of these boxes and fun boxes, presents upon presents. Whole room full of them. And Dr. Rice looks around and says to the Lord, "Well, you know, how bad could this be? I mean, it's just a room full of presents." And the Lord said, "Well, you don't understand what this is." And Dr. Rice said, "Well, Lord, what is this?" He said, "This is all the things that I want to give you." And Dr. Rice said, "Well, again, how bad could this be?" He said, "Yeah, but I'm not going to give them to you." Dr. Rice said, "Well, Lord, why not?" And he said this is what, in his dream, here's what the Lord said to him, "Because you do not ask for them." Dr. Rice said, I woke up that morning from that dream, and he said, I decided I'm going to ask the Lord for everything. Nothing I'm going to hold back. He said, the Lord has things that He wants to give me, but He's not giving me because I want to ask, then I'm going to make sure I ask. Now again, and we'll see this in a moment, I'm not like genie in the lamp. I'm not about asking like Santa Claus. I don't mean, you know, Lord, give me $1 million. Lord, give me a new car. Lord, give me gold teeth. I mean, not silly stuff, but it just truly needs in life. Now you're sitting there this morning and you're saying this, oh, preacher, that's just a story. That's just a dream. I mean, does the Lord really hold back things because we don't ask for them? Yes, yeah. Let me say this. The answer is not found in what you think. And the answer is not found in what I think. The answer found is, what does the Bible say about this? Could I ask you this morning, if the Bible said to you that the Lord does not give you things because you do not ask, would that challenge your asking? Would that challenge your prayer? If I actually showed you Scripture in the Bible where the God said, I want to give you something, but you're not asking me, and so therefore I am not giving it to you. Would not that challenge us maybe in this area of prayer? I want to show you a couple of verses this morning. I want you to notice with me Matthew chapter 7, first of all. The Bible says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. You say, well, preacher, that doesn't say if I don't ask, but think about what he's saying. He's saying in these verses, he's saying if you ask, then it shall be given you. Isn't that kind of what it says? Then he says in verse 8, for everyone that asketh does what? Without doing any error to script, any harm to Scripture, without trying to twist Scripture, without trying to make it say something it doesn't, if we just look at what it says, the Bible seems to be very clear. It says this, those that ask does what? So if you do not ask, then you do not receive. Well, can you find a verse a little clearer than that? I surely can. The book of James says this, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot attain, you fight and war, and then he says this, yet you have not because you ask. I mean, that is a very clear scripture. It says, you do not have because you do not ask. Isn't that what the Bible says? You do not have. I want to give. I desire to give. I have things for you, but I'm not giving them to you because you do not ask. Now, you may wonder, what does that have to do with the verses we read? Well, I'm going to, back in our verses, back to Genesis 1, I'm going to build something. I'm going to use these verses to build a teaching. And from that teaching, I'm going to give you some help, some application. Let's take a moment. I want you to understand something here from Genesis 1 that helps us in this area of prayer. The Lord's teaching us two big lessons that helps us to understand prayer. If you go back to Genesis 1, look with me at verse 26. Here's what we find in verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. So God created man in His own image. In verse 27, the image of God created He them. Look at verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. And look at verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth. And He continues to talk along that line. Here's the first thing we understand. Let me slow down a little bit. When we think about creation, we think about us, we think about the Lord. The first thing we understand is this. God created us to be productive. I want you to think with me. When God created man, He put him in a literal paradise. He did not put him in paradise and say, oh, just sit around. You know, this is how we think of paradise. We think of the beach. We think of the lounge chair. We think of our non-alcoholic drink in our hand, or maybe our hat that's blocking out the sun, or our sunglasses. And we're sitting there, and we hear the seagulls and the waves coming in, and we're just sitting there, and we're in paradise. Let me tell you, that'd get boring real fast. God knows us, and God knows for us to be happy, we have to be productive people. People who sit around and do nothing, people who just sit around, all they do is watch TV, and they do nothing with their life. They sit maybe and play computer games their whole life. They have no productivity. They are not happy people. God created us to be productive. So God put Adam and Eve in the middle of paradise, but He gave them something to do to be productive. That's the first lesson. Now you're wondering, what does that have to do with prayer? I know you're wondering that. Don't leave me. I'll explain. Even though Adam lived in paradise, he had something to do. Work, listen, work is not a curse. Do you know that? Sometimes you think, well, I got to go out and work and it's all Adam's fault. Adam had to work before he sinned. Work is not a curse. Work is a blessing. Work allows our life to be productive. Work allows us to accomplish things. The curse that God put was not on making man work, but it was that work would be hard now because of sin. Work causes us to sweat. There's a groaning. There is a hardness that goes into work. That's part of the curse of sin. But work itself is a blessing. So God created us to be productive. The second thing I want you to notice is this. And go back with me to Genesis 1. Here's the second thing I want you to notice. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed. Now, notice this. And God said. Who's God talking to? Adam and Eve, right? He's not talking to himself. Okay? If you look through Genesis 1, and God is saying this, look at now in verse 26, and God said, let us make. So God's, it's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So they're talking among themselves. But then when he gets down to verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, now he's talking to Adam and Eve. Verse 29, and God said. And you go into chapter 2 and you see the Lord speaking again to Adam about with the creation of Eve. Chapter 2 is kind of a back to chapter 1, but it tells us a little more what's happening. Here's the second thing we see. Not only did God create us to be productive, I'll tell you, and I have to explain it for a few moments. God created us to be dependent. Dependent. We're depending on someone. Guess who we're depending on? God. You see, he put them in the garden, and he said, now I want you to produce, I want you to be productive, I've given you these things, I've provided for you, but they still needed the Lord. The Lord would still send forth the rain, they would still need the Lord, and the Lord's still working with them, and the Lord's still talking to them, and the Lord's still communicating with them. So all that Adam had was received from God. Is that not true? Did Adam and Eve put that garden together? Okay, how much of the garden was there when Adam showed up? All of it. God provided for Adam. Adam was dependent on God. So we see two great lessons here in Genesis 1. Number one, that God created us to be productive. Number two, God created us to be dependent. Now, how does that tie in with prayer? God designed prayer as a means for those dependent on Him to receive what they needed to be productive. I'll say it again. God designed prayer for those, that's us, dependent upon Him, could receive the things that we need in order to be productive. That's the original purpose of prayer. God created prayer for His people. He said, now, I'm putting you in the garden. Here's what I'm doing. I'm giving these things to you. You're dependent upon me. I want you to be productive. Now, other things you need, you ask me, I'll provide. And there was a communication between Adam and God. Before the fall, it was not unusual for them to talk. You look in, even when they sinned. What did Adam hear? He heard the voice of the Lord walking. Because of sin, he runs from God. It wasn't simply God's voice that scared him. It was not an unusual thing for God to speak to Adam. But when sin came in, then sin broke that relationship. And now there's no more talking to the Lord. Now there's hiding from the Lord. Sin is what prohibits, or sin is what hinders our prayer. Prayer was designed that God's people could ask the Lord for their needs, receive the things they need to be productive for the Lord. That's how prayer was designed. That's the original purpose behind prayer. Now, what does that tell us this morning? It means this, that we still today need prayer. We need to pray. It was God. People were never designed to live upon this earth without having the Lord's blessing. God didn't just put us here. Sometimes we think this. We think, okay, here's Adam and Eve. You ready? Okay. Typically, I hit where I'm aiming at, but you never know. So everyone around, be careful. Ready? So here's Adam and Eve. Here's what we think. God said, okay, Adam and Eve, I'm going to put you in the earth. There you go. Have at it. Good luck. That was never how it was designed. I want that back, by the way. Just so you know. So that's not how it was designed. It was designed that God did put them in the garden. God did say, here's where I want you. But then there was an interaction. There was a communication that God spoke to Adam, and Adam and Eve spoke to God. And there's this communication going on. And they said, Lord, we need this. Or, Lord, can you do this? Or, Lord, we need help with this. And God responded back to Adam and Eve. It was always God's intention that God's people, people in general, but specifically God's people, would pray and seek the Lord for their needs. What I'm saying this morning is that even today, in 2013, we need to pray. We still need to pray. If we're going to raise our kids, we need prayer to raise our kids. If we're going to have a strong marriage, we need prayer for a strong marriage. If we're going to resist the temptations of the devil, we need prayer to do that. We need prayer to resist our flesh. We need a prayer to resist the devil. God did not put you on earth without a need for Him. God put you here, and He put you here with a need that received things from God. We still need prayer today. We're going to love those who hate us. If we're going to live at peace in the midst of all the storms around us, if we're going to be able to provide for our families on a daily basis, we need to pray. And God said this, if you don't, there's some things you'll never get. Think about that. God put us on earth. And He put us on earth with a need to pray. He said, you need to pray. You need to ask. You need to beseech. You need to ask me for these things. And ask me for these things. And ask me for these things. But if you do not ask, I'm not going to give them to you. Now think about that. He put us here with a need to pray. And then said, there's some things you will not get if you do not ask. Now, what can we glean? What can we learn from this? I want to give you three applications that we can put in practice in our life. Number one is this. If we are not praying, now let me just stop here. We come in on Sunday morning, we go like this. You know what that is? We're shining our halo. We come in. I'm a good Christian, yes. And we put on this image. But the truth is, there's people come in, whether it's our church or churches like this, and if someone put a gun in your head and said, when's the last time you prayed? You'd be like sweating. Let's see here. This is 2013, right? I was 20. You'd be hard-pressed to remember the last time you sincerely prayed to the Lord. And the truth is, we don't pray as we should. And if we are not praying, then we're missing how God wants to use us. Can I tell you this? If you're a born-again person this morning, God wants to use you. He wants to make you productive. He wants to bless your life. But there are some things we're not going to receive if we are not praying. Let me emphasize this, that God wants to use us. God wants to bless us. See, well, preacher, why do you think that? Let me tell you why I think that. Because I think that because of how the Lord worked in my life. I remember, and I tell you often so much you probably get sick of hearing about it, but I remember, I know who I am. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't grow up people looked at me and said, boy, he's really going to turn out for the Lord. That's not how I grew up. I grew up as a bus kid. I grew up, the kid who lived across the street from the bar. I'm the kid who grew up on Bertha Hill. I'm the kid who grew up down in Maidsville. I mean, I had this kid on the bus. Me and him went a couple rounds at different times. But man, we'd go through Maidsville. Now, he lived right past Maidsville. I don't know what his problem was, but we'd go through Maidsville and he would always say things. Hey, look, there's one of the houses. They actually have a roof. I bet they don't have a dirt floor over there. And we'd just make fun of people in Maidsville. And, Maysville was not it was not hoity-toity people, okay? We weren't the high-flying people of society. So I lived in Maysville, and I know where I came from. I know how the Lord worked in my life. I mean, all I was a bus kid. I'm the guy that's a stepfather who's a drunk, and all of his brothers are drunk. I understand how the Lord worked in my life. Reached down to a bus kid in Maysville who lived across from the bar, lived above from the bar, and then if God can bless my life, if God can use me, if God can take me out of that and put me in a Christian college and teach me how to pray, and let me start a church and use me in my life, then God can use you as well. Let me tell you, that doesn't happen without prayer, though. It didn't happen in my life, and it will not happen in your life without prayer. And so if we're not praying, then we're going to miss how God wants to use us. Let me show you some more verses. I'm going to say it again. God wants to use us, but He will not use us if we are not praying. Can I show you some verses about this to encourage you? John 15, 5 through 7 says this, I'm the vine, this is what the Lord says. He says, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. You take one of these branches here in these trees. As long as it's hooked into the tree and it's receiving supply from that tree, it's a healthy branch. You go out there and cut that branch off and throw it to the side. What happens to that branch? It dies. It withers. What are you saying? He's saying, if you're not connected, if you're not seeking me, if you're not connected to me, if you're not abiding in me, you're not going to receive the things you need. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. What cannot be done by talent? What cannot be done by personality? What cannot be done by... We say, well, preacher, you don't understand. I don't have any great talent. I'm not the person everyone looks to. I'm not the guy who walks in a room and the room light brightens up. I'm the guy who walks in a room and everything goes dim. I'm not the Mr. Sunshine. I'm Mr. Moonshine. That might not be the right analogy. may not be the right one. I'm not the bright and shiny guy. I'm not the great talented guy. You know, we sell God short. We think God is limited by us.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have it, so therefore God... Let me tell you this. All God says, give me your little, and they can make it much. But we're not going to be used. We're not going to be blessed unless we seek Him in prayer and say, Lord, here's what I need, Lord. Here's what you got to do, Lord. I'm seeking you about these things. Much can be done when we get hold of the Lord. I'm going to notice some more verses. Psalms 81:10 says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Big mouth praying. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, call on me, and I answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Can I tell you, God can do bigger things than what you can think of and what you can imagine. We find this in 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says this, but as is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, yet have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. In other words, even our own minds and understanding is limited, but God sees even bigger things. Let me give you big number two. Big number one is this, if we are not praying, then we are missing how God wants to use us. I want to show you the big second application, which is this. If we are praying, then God will use us no matter how it seems. So, preacher, I am praying. If you are sincerely praying, God will use you. God will answer. God will respond. True, I'm going to give you a couple of statements here. I'm going to tell you right now, some of you might want to put a seatbelt on because I'm going to shake you up a little bit. Okay? I'm not charismatic, okay? But I'm not Catholic either. Charismatic is, I want a new car. I want a new house. Gold dust from the sky. Gold teeth in my mouth. Gold chains around my neck. We're not talking about just lust, fleshly things. When the Lord says, seek me, He's not saying, seek me so you can have all that you want. He's not saying, seek me so you can live high on the hog. That's not what He's saying. We're talking about true biblical praying. Praying from the heart for the true needs in our life. We'll see that here in a second. When we say this, well, I'm not Catholic. I'm not trying to be unkind, but I don't believe in just saying, God bless Mom, God bless Dad, God bless Susie, God bless Nancy, God bless Bobby, God bless Billy, God bless our neighbors, God bless the preacher, God bless all the missionaries around the world. This staid, never really opening our heart, never really excited, we're just saying words. I don't believe in that either. I believe if a heart is open to the Lord and we sincerely seek Him and say, Lord, here's a need in my life. Here's what you got to do, Lord. Here's what I need. Here's what I'm asking. Lord, please do this in my life. I believe that God can respond to the prayers of His people. And now listen to this statement. True biblical praying always has results. Always has results. Even if we don't see them right away, something's happening. God responds to the prayers of His people. True biblical praying gets God's attention and He responds.
Amen.
So, preacher, I'm glad you think that, but what does the Bible say? Let me tell you a story in the Bible. Daniel. Daniel knew how to pray. And there's something going on in Daniel's life. We see this in Daniel chapter 10. I'm not going to take the whole time to explain all that's happening because it's a whole other sermon itself. I'm just going to let you look at the verses and kind of try to explain what's happening very quickly. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and understanding the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks, 21 days. 21 days. It's important to understand that. 21 days. And what's happening is this mourning, you'll see, if you read the whole chapter, that mourning included praying. He's mourning, he's weeping, but the very beginning of that, the very first day, he begins praying about it. I know it's not clear there, but if you read the whole chapter, trust me, that's what it says. Then it goes on and says, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now I want you to notice though what happens. He's praying for 3 weeks. He doesn't see anything. 3 weeks he's praying. Nothing. Let me tell you, but something happened as soon as he started praying. He didn't know it. He doesn't find out till later. We pick it up later in this chapter, in verse 12. Then said he unto me, this is the angel that was sent with the answer to prayer, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day, day one, now he went 21 days, but in the first day, day one, that thou sets thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Again, I'm not going to tell you the whole story. There was a hindrance. There was some angelic fighting between Satan and his angels against the angels the Lord was sending. There's a big battle going on, and things are happening. But there's a hindrance to the answer, but God sent the answer day one. That means as soon as Daniel prayed, God said, boom, do something about it. God didn't say, well, I think I'll wait 21 days. No, God said, hey, I hear that prayer, and immediately responds and begins working in Daniel's life. He didn't see it right away. It wasn't obvious, but the Lord was working. So I'm saying, if we are praying, then God will use us. God works. God is at business doing something, no matter how it may seem. I'm going to say this statement again, because I don't think it shook you up enough, because I think some of you are like, oh yeah, but I want you to think about what I'm saying. True biblical praying always has results. Now, I'm not trying to pick a fight again. I'm not trying to be mean to people. But sometimes people say this. Sometimes God answers yes. Sometimes God answers no. Can I tell you this? True biblical praying is always a yes. The problem with that, it's not the no. The problem is we're not praying according to His will. Here's how prayer works. I think my heart says, here's what I want. And God in heaven says, no, that's what you need over there. So if I truly pray, I yield myself and say, Lord, here's what I'm asking for. But Lord, I surrender, and Lord, you help my prayer to be what it should be. And if I'm truly yielded, the Lord begins changing my prayer, and then pretty soon I'm asking for this. And then the Lord says, bingo. It's not a no. It is, I didn't start asking for the right thing. But when the right prayer is uttered, for example, if I'm saying this, Lord, you know my car is a 2009 Chrysler Sebring. And, you know, it's 4 years old. So, Lord, you know, I could use a brand new car. Truth is, I don't need a brand new car. But let's say I have some problems with my car. And let's say I got some issues with it. And let's say I really need one. And so I say, Lord, I need a new car. No, I need another car. Doesn't have to be new. All I have to do is get me from point A to point B. Our problem with our prayers, we say, Lord, I want a 2013 Mercedes. Lord, 2013 Mercedes, 2000. Let me tell you, that's not a true biblical prayer. True biblical prayer is this. If I truly needed a car, I say, Lord, can you provide me a car that would meet my needs? And when the Lord answers, He provides for that. That's true biblical praying. You say, well, preacher, again, what does the Bible say? Because when we talk about prayer, it really is important that we understand from the Lord's perspective. I want you to go back to these verses. We looked at them earlier. Look at them with me. Notice what the Lord says. Ask, and it. What is it? The thing you're asking for. And it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. What are you finding? The thing you're seeking. Knock, and it. What's it? The thing you're knocking on. It shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh does what? Do you believe the Bible? Yes. Everyone that asketh does what? We're not talking about asking for fleshly materialistic, lustful thing. We're talking about sincerely being on our face and saying, Lord, here's a need in my life. Lord, you know this is a situation. Lord, you, for example, we say, well, Lord, heal my body. Can I tell you, healing is not always the Lord's will. We saw that in Paul's life. Because he said, well, preacher, I got a sickness and I'm praying and God hasn't healed me. Healing is not always the will of God. Sometimes, it's not wrong. If I had a sickness, I'd be saying, Lord, heal me, Lord, heal me. But I might have to go to the prayer that says, Lord, can you use me in my illness? And sometimes the Lord can use you better in your illness than He can use you in your health. And I say, Lord, that's what I want. I don't want health. I want you to use me. I want you to bless me. I want my life to be productive for the Lord. And so if my illness brings production, then Lord, bless me in my illness. And that's how the Lord can answer every prayer. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. There's other things taught about prayer, about getting our requests in the will of God. And we've talked about that before, but that's what he's talking about. If you truly have biblical praying in the will of God, God wants to meet and answer those prayers. God works through the prayers of His people. And God moves through the prayer of His people. And God responds to the prayer of His people. So could I ask you this morning, what is it you need God to do for you? What are you praying about? What is it you need God to do? God wants to move in your life. God wants to make you productive. God wants to bless you. God wants to use you. Your biggest need is not your health. Your biggest need is to pray. And your biggest need is not your finances. Your biggest need is to pray. And your biggest need isn't your future. So, well, preacher, I don't know what my future holds, and I have some concerns. That's not your biggest need. Your biggest need is prayer. We ought to pray about everything. We ought to pray about all things. We ought to pray about big things. We ought to pray about small things. We just need to pray. And let God direct that prayer and change that prayer to the point where God can say, now I can meet that, and I can answer that, and I can use you, and I can bless you. If we're not praying, then we're missing how God wants to use us. If we are praying, then God will use us no matter how it seems. Let me give you the third application. Number three is this. God must increase our faith to increase our prayers, to increase our productivity. As God calls us to a greater work, then God has to increase our faith so we can ask for even greater things. We see this in the book of Luke, chapter 17. Then said he unto his disciples, this is the Lord, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. In other words, people are going to give you trouble, but, you know, bad for them. Verse 2, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Now that takes a certain amount of faith, doesn't it? To deal with people in a Christian way. You know how we are. I don't get mad, I get even. Now we're good Christians. Good Christians don't hit first. But if you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. Because I'm a good Christian. I don't hit you first. The Lord says, no. He said, if you trespass against thee, you know, tell him, rebuke him. Say, hey, you know, you shouldn't have done that. That wasn't right. And he says, oh, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Then he says, yeah, forgive him. Let me ask you, but what if they do it again? Wouldn't that take more faith? Notice in the next couple verses, because we said 1-5, that's only the first three. Notice verses 4 and 5. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, don't look at verse 5. You already did, but pretend you did. You're those disciples. He said, if he does it once, forgive him. They're like, okay. And Jesus said, oh, by the way, if they do it 7 times, forgive them 7 times. You know what they said? Increase our faith. He said, Lord, that's a big thing you're asking. Lord, I don't know. Lord, you're going to increase our faith because we're really going to need to pray about that. We're really going to need your help here. And that's what the Lord is saying. As we see a need for more productivity, or God using us more, or God blessing us more, then He says we need an increase in our faith so that we can have increase in our prayer, so we have an increase in our productivity. Now, we can kind of close to the end of the message. So I want you to kind of tune in, kind of try to bring it to a conclusion. Much of the Christian life, okay, let me stop. What I'm preaching mostly is a message to Christians. If you're not a child of God, if there's not been a place and a time you've asked Jesus to come in your heart, let me tell you, the prayer you need to pray is this: Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, hear that prayer. He'll forgive your sins. He'll come in your heart. He'll give you a home in heaven. Now, that's the prayer of the unsaved person. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm not trying to look down and condescend. I'm just saying, if you don't know, then you need to make sure Christ is in your heart. If Christ is in your heart, if you're a child of God this morning, you're sitting here saying, "Preacher, I know Christ. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I know I'm born again. I know I'm saved." Much of the Christian life is God stretching us so we have bigger and bigger prayers. Is there things that God does not give us because we do not ask? Yes, the Bible's clear. That means that we have to ask. But there's even more that He wants to give us. So He has to stretch us even more. Remember Stretch Armstrong as a kid? You ever have a Stretch Armstrong and they always go back? Yeah. That's kind of what He's doing to us. He's like a stretching us. And it's like those, you ever see those yoga people who take their arms, their legs, and they kind of wrap around their necks, or they bend over backwards and they put their head between their legs this way? You're like, ow, that just hurts thinking about it. Now, they didn't do it one time. They didn't just go, okay. It took a lot of stretching. A long time to stretch and stretch and stretch and stretch and stretch to be that limber. When you see a Christian who gets answers to prayer, it didn't happen overnight. God was working in their life and stretching them and stretching them and stretching them. And that's what God wants to do in your life. He stretches us and He puts us in situations that are harder than we can. Let me slow down. God is going to put you in situations you cannot handle. He will. God says, "You won't handle that." So He's mean. No, He can handle it. You can't. And so we get in that situation, we're like, "Lord, I can't handle it. I can't do this, Lord. This is bigger than me. Lord, it's not fair." And the Lord says, "You have not because you ask not. Lord, I need You. Lord, please help me. Lord, please bless me. Lord, please help me in this situation." And God says, "Yep." Now He steps in. And He makes us productive. And we're doing well. And the Lord says, "I need to stretch you some more." So He picks us up. He puts us in this situation. We're like, "But Lord, this is even harder than that one. This is bigger than that one. Lord, I need Your help some more." And the Lord says, "Yep." And He steps in. He stretches us more. And that's how the Lord works in life. He stretches us and stretches us and stretches us and helps increase our faith, increases our prayers, and therefore increases our productivity. 2 Chronicles says this, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." I want you to listen. "To show Himself strong." Why does God do all this? Because when we're in those situations and we can't do it, and we call up and say, "Lord, please." When it happens, we don't do this. "Look what I did." We say this. "Look what He did. I couldn't do it. It was bigger than me. It was beyond me." And the Lord gets the praise and the Lord gets the glory and the Lord gets lifted up. And the Lord says, "I'm doing this in the earth to show Myself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." And the Lord tries to work in our life so He gets the glory and He gets the honor and He gets the praise. Now hear me say this, and I'm done. God can take each of us. God can take every one of us. God can take any one of us. He can save us. He can clean us up. And He can use us for His glory. He can. There's some things God will not do because we do not pray. So let me ask you this morning, what is it that God wants to do in your life? What are you praying about? Let me ask you this question, what is it that you need God to do in your life? Let me ask you this, the last question is this. What is it that you need to pray about and allow God to show Himself strong on your behalf? What is it? Well, preacher, well, what's the answer? Well, here's the answer right here. Come and pray. The Lord says, "I have it. And there's some things I will not if you do not ask." And He puts us in situations purposely waiting for us to ask and saying, "Ready now? I got it. I'm waiting. I'll respond." And He waits to hear from us. And we lift up our voice and say, "Lord, please." And the Lord responds and says, "Now, here's what I'm doing." Would you bow your heads and let's pray together.